extinguishes the fire and issues the high fruit of the Holy Spirit. The sanctified living is a prior benediction of humanity to God, because the Spirit is raised to the benediction of you. It is a life of all transcendental knowledge, the appreciation of transcendental bliss, and the exaltedly takes the next part which are always anxious. O my Lord, the Holy Neverland, the Prince of all benediction of the many beings, God's abundance in the hidden names like Vishnu and Buddha, in each transcendental names of the story of
as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Tady Goswami Maharaj, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Jayam Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Paripada ki jai, Shri Prabhupada Shri Srimad Pange, Shri Bhakti Saranta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Namaskar Shri Haridas Thakur ki jai, Shri Prabhupada Shri Krishna Chaitanya Paramahansa, Shri Advaita Gadara Shri Vaswari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gaur Gopinath Shyam Kunda Radha Kundi Giri Govardhan ki jai, Shri Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Shri Amistam ki jai, Shri Mata Dham ki jai, Shri Chagrapuri Dham ki jai, Shishi Govardhana Dari ki jai, Shishi Gauritaya ki jai, Shishi Krishna Balarama ki jai, Shishi Kiri Rajaswami ki jai, Shinu Govardhana ki jai, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Guru Rangar. Nayanam namaskacham nare, charam nirutamam, divim saraswatim, yasam pido chayam adhiya, nasta prayeshu, eshu nittam bhagavati sara, bhagavati, tamashwake, bhavati, bhavati, naishtiki, Mukham karoti bhacharam pangum vangarayati girim yat kripa tarham bande shri guru dina tarane. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 9th chapter, 11th verse.
It's a 10th one.
10th verse.
Yes, it had two verses.
Okay. What's on the board? 10? Sakshashtak Kama Parinambas.
That's a different verse.
Is that right?
That's that Dravya Bhuyo.
What is it?
Dravya.
Number 10. I can't see. Is it number 10? It's written on the board? Dravya Bhuyo Parinabhas Suriyam Chargrur Malam Tashu Buddha Buddha Panevyam Vishtam Tad Tati Shipam Dravya Bhuyo Parinabhas Dravya Bhuyo Parinabhas Turinam Jagrahor Malam Turiyam Jagrahor Malam Tasu Buddha Buddha Panevyam Tasu Buddha Buddha Van Penabhyam Trishtam Dattarati Kshipam Trishtam Dattarati Kshipam Dravya Bhuyo Varanabhas Turiyam Jagrahur Malam Tasu Buddha Buddha Panebhyam Trishtam Tadarati Kshipam Dravya Bhuyo Varanabhas Turiyam Jagrahur Malam Tasu Buddha Buddha Pranayam Trishtam Tadarati Kshipam. Anyone else? Dravya Bhuyo Varanabhas Turiyam Jagrahur Malam Tasu Buddha Buddha Panayam Trishtam Tadarata Shipam. Others? Dravya Bhuyo Varanabhas Turiyam Jagrahur Malam Tasu Buddha Buddha Panayam Trishtam Tadarati Kshipam Dravya, other things.
Bhuyaha, of increasing. Parena, by the benediction. Apaha, water. Turiyam, 1/4. Jagruhu, accepted. Malam, the sinful reaction. Tasu, in the water. Buddha Buddha. Phanabhyam, Phanabhyam, by bubbles and foam. Trishtam, visible. Tat, that. Padati, one collects. Shipam, throwing away. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. And return for Indra's benediction, the water would increase the volume of other substances with which it was mixed. Water accepted 1/4 of the sinful reactions. Therefore, there are bubbles and foam in water. When one collects water, these should be avoided responsibly. And in return, for King Indra's benediction, the water would increase the volume of other substances with which it was mixed. Water accepted 1/4 of the sinful reactions. Therefore, there are bubbles and foam in water. When one collects water, these should be avoided. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. If water is mixed with milk, fruit juice, or other similar substances, it increases their volume, and no one can understand which has increased. In return for this benediction, water accepted 1/4 of Indra's sinful reactions. These sinful reactions are visible in foam and bubbles. Therefore, one should avoid foam and bubbles while collecting drinking water. Translation again by Srila Prabhupada. And in return for Indra's benediction, the water would increase the volume of other substances with which it was mixed. Water accepted 1/4 of the sinful reactions. Therefore, there are bubbles and foam in water. When one collects water, these should be avoided.
Mukham karoti vachalam pramva mangayati giren yatri pattaraham bandhe shigaradinatare.
So this verse indicates that everything is somewhat polluted or diluted in this age, in Kali Yuga, including water. We can see bubbles and foam in the sea. Sometimes water is artificially carbonated so that it bubbles, and people like the tingling taste. But it's a form of pollution in Kali Yuga. And in this age, nothing is actually pure. Everything is reduced, and the different things that are reduced are mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The memory is reduced, the stature of human beings is reduced to the point where, and the longevity is reduced to the point where someone who is very, very old will be 25 years old. Memory is reduced, strength of mind is strength is reduced, and towards the end of the age, people are all very small and very short living, and there's almost no Krishna consciousness, as described in the Bhagavad Gita. And there's also another feature of this age is that everything is, it's sometimes called the age of duality. There's always different things, there's hot and cold, there's green and red, and green and yellow, and things deteriorate. So it's sometimes called the age of duality, where everything is, there's an opposite thing to everything. And in the seventh canto, ninth verse, I think it's the 17th chapter, Prahlad Maharaj is pushed forward to appease Nisringadev. And in that verse he says that when we're born into Kali Yuga, as soon as we're born, we have relationships with certain living entities. It's also described in the 11th canto that Bhutapta, we're indebted to relatives, living entities, to animals, and great rishis of the past, and various people. So sometimes we just come into this world, and people who are our relatives are even our enemies. I had an aunt once who was I stayed with her. She was my mother's sister, and my parents were supposed to bring back a gift for me when they returned from their journey, wherever it was. And this, I was staying at this aunt's house, and
I was taking meals with her, and she was very friendly and everything. But when my parents got back, she said that I was very misbehaved, and she stopped them from giving me a gift. So in a sense, I held it against her. I had a kind of a grudge. So I thought she was my enemy. And she was a relative, and always very friendly. Of course, I I sort of had to be friendly with her, but this was an incident in which someone who was a relative became an enemy. And in one lecture, Prabhupada mentions that someone who's because this is a world of duality, there are both friends and enemies, and everyone in the material world has both friends and enemies. And it's mentioned here that water is sometimes polluted. And that well, there's different pollutions. There's the menstrual cycle of women. There's the desertification in the world. And there's sap in trees. Of course, we take maple syrup. That's maybe an exception. But generally, sap is very bitter. And it's a kind of like trees have to bleed. We might say they're bleeding because they're exuding this thing called sap. Some of it is very sweet, but most of it is very bitter. When I was in New Zealand, there's a tree called kauri trees, and their sap is considered to be very good. People used to come from former Yugoslavia and risk their lives just to get this sap. It formed into blocks called gum, and they were called gum diggers. And they used this sap for paints and cosmetics because of its very tasty smell. But generally, it's considered very, very unfortunate and unlucky for trees to exude sap, because it's a very unfortunate thing. So this happens with water too, and it's mentioned that water dilutes things, like we can put it in milk and fruit juice, and it dilutes those things. And we can't tell which is increasing, the water or the milk, if it's put in milk, but there's an increase, it's diluted. When devotees first time they went to India, it was in about 1971, they found that the milk that they were getting was being diluted by the wallahs that delivered the milk. They were putting newspaper in milk to dilute it, not just water, but newspapers. So it was a very polluted thing. So this kind of thing happens. And even people who are our own relatives, like this aunt of mine, sometimes become enemies. In the American Civil War, there were people who were brothers, but because some became Yankees and some stayed on the Confederate side, they ended up killing each other, because they were Yankees considered Confederate enemies and vice versa. I think there was a sign somewhere in the temple that there were no cell phones allowed or something like that. Anyways, I don't see it. Huh? Is it still there?
Somebody
left.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Anyway. Is that the mobile telephone? Is that what it was?
Yeah, it's sort of gone off by itself.
I don't think it's gone. So everyone in the material world, part of the duality of the material world is that there are friends and enemies, and this is one of the things that Prahlad mentioned, that he didn't see things in terms of friends and enemies. Everyone was his friend. Sometimes, like sannyasis and gurus, they're supposed to see the devotional side of everything. Bhava Grahi Janardana, that's one of the qualities of Krishna, only to see the devotional qualities, the good side, the bright side of things. Whereas when we have to manage or administer, we have to have a police force, and sometimes criminals have to be punished. But yogis and gurus and sannyasis are not supposed to see those kind of things or misbehavior as things that can be corrected. There was an Irish poet that once said that to err is human, and to forgive is divine. So someone who is on that level of a guru or a sannyasi or a yogi is supposed to be always forgiving and see that people who do things that are misbehaved are doing it out of the strength of material nature, or maybe it's just a mistake that's being made, and it's kind of common that everyone makes mistakes. It's one of the four things that all people do, is they make mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes, but these mistakes can be corrected. Even people who are very innocent and very pure are sometimes have enemies. There was even a plot to assassinate Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, which was eventually foiled. But there was a group of people who got together in a conspiracy to murder him. And there was one time when a governor of a state in the United States, I think it was Alabama, was Governor Wallace. He was not murdered, but there was an attempted murder on his life, and he was shot and maimed, and he had to move about in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. And when Prabhupada heard this, he said that he was not going to appear in public anymore because there was so much danger. And even President Kennedy, who was very loved by the American people, was assassinated. And so there are friends and enemies of everyone. And even Indra, who is very opulent and very powerful, he has enemies. Sometimes the Asuras are envious of him, and then they war against Indra, and vice versa. And the demigods, headed by Indra, are also sometimes warring against the Asuras or the demons. So there's in every part, and this is part of the material world, whether it's a heavenly planet, a Svargaloka, or the place we live in right now, which is the sort of the middle planet, the Earth planet. There's friends and enemies, and there's always some anxiety going on everywhere. There was a study once done to determine what people were most concerned with, and one of the things that came up was that their first concern was their health, and the second thing they were most concerned with was their economic position. So if this is true, and what Prahlad was saying, and part of what he was saying in this 17th verse of the ninth chapter of the seventh canto, was that the remedial measures that we take to make things better are often worse than the original things. So if economics is one of the major concerns of people, and I think I talked about this before, there's a lot of pollution in the air because of cars, and then smog devices were introduced to reduce the amount of pollution, and people complained because they had to pay more for these devices. And if they didn't have to pay, they had to pay more taxes because the money that was used for making smog control devices was gleaned from their taxes. So everybody was complaining. And then when President Bush was the president, not President Younger Bush, but the senior George Bush was president, there was an $8 billion American program to stop the drug, to reduce the amount of drug trafficking and drug use. It just so happened that I was on an airplane, and I was sitting next to a man who was a police officer. He was in plain clothes, and his opinion was that they were trying to stop the use of cocaine and other drugs, heroin, heavy drugs. And he said that even though he was a policeman, he said that even though the government had spent $8 billion to reduce or to stop the use of and smuggling of drugs, they didn't make a dent in it. That was the word he used, dent. They didn't make a dent in it. And he was still very much involved in having to track down drug users, drug dealers, and drug smugglers. And where did all this money come, this $8 billion? Well, this obviously came from taxpayers too. It came out of people's pockets. So there was a lot of complaint. There was the problem wasn't what people were using drugs and getting intoxicated. The solution was to spend $8 billion, US dollars, to try to stop this. And so people complained because their taxes increased. Because where did this $8 billion come from? It didn't come from the pocket of the government. It came from the pockets of the people who were paying their taxes. So that concern, that was a way to show that a material solution sometimes is worse than the original problem. So that happened. And Prahlad also mentions that in this regard, that solutions are sometimes worse than the original problems. Sometimes, in terms of health, we have a toothache, and a toothache is a very painful thing. So, but even more painful is the remedy for a toothache, which sometimes involves extracting the tooth or taking it out. And sometimes it's so painful that people have to be administered antibiotics or Novocaine, or sometimes alcohol, just to deaden the pain. It's such a painful thing. And then there's other illnesses that occur, and the pharmaceutical industry has done research and come up with different kinds of ways to counteract these various types of pains of the body. And I don't know if some of you have ever purchased these drugs, but sometimes the drugs have many pages of a manual that goes with it, the drug, to say that it's this way and that way, it's toxic and it shouldn't be used in certain conditions, pregnant women shouldn't use it, it shouldn't be administered to children, and so forth. And so, and sometimes it amounts to thousands and thousands of words to make up for the many billions of dollars that's spent maybe in researching to find these things. So this is another thing. Sometimes people suffer from these side effects their whole life. And sometimes the side effects are worse than the original complaints. So this is another instance of the remedies, remedial measures, as Prahlad was mentioning, being more dangerous and more painful than the original problems that existed. And another thing that happened once was in 1946, when World War II ended, the United Nations was created. I think it was created in 1945, actually. And one of the U.S. presidents said that because of the United Nations, there would be no more war. But that didn't prove to be true, because war and terrorism are still existing. And that's sort of like a gift of the United Nations. And there was some devotees that were complaining about the United Nations interference when the Bosnia war was going on, that they were in Sarajevo, and the United Nations airplanes were dropping bombs. That the supposedly a peacekeeping organization was doing violent things, and innocent people, supposedly innocent women and children, were being killed by these bombs. And so they complained that, you know, sometimes the United Nations, so-called United Nations, is creating something that's worse than the original warring problems, trying to solve a war by uniting. So the original problem was that people were sometimes murdering and killing, and the solution was to cause them to be united. That was the counteractive or remedial measure that was given, but it didn't succeed, so far hasn't succeeded. So in Kali Yuga, everything is difficult and mismanaged, in a sense that when we try to solve one problem, we often create worse problems than exist. And now, because people are very enamored with advances in science, especially in medicine and in travel and communications, they're thinking that we're very advanced. But if there's a problem, for example, if you're flying in an airplane, which is a very quick way to move, and it's considered a very advanced form of technology, there's a great danger. If something goes wrong in an aircraft and it crashes, immediately everybody dies. So it's not a very good solution to getting to from point A to point B faster. It's sort of like that's the original solution, is to get from point A to point B faster. And the remedial measure, the airplane, which takes you much faster to get from point A to point B, is a very dangerous situation. So these are some of the things that happen in the age of Kali that are very dangerous. So any comments or questions to me? Yes?
Maharaj, I was speaking about friends and enemies, and saying that, you know, everyone has friends and enemies.
Yes.
And I was thinking, like, at least for a devotee, or for somebody who is preaching Krishna consciousness, or even Krishna himself, like his understanding is that he is a friend of everyone, but somebody else may consider that person an enemy. You know, so in that case, you know, the devotee will understand, well, actually, you know, if I'm preaching Krishna consciousness, and I'm actually being the best of friends to everyone, but others may consider that person an enemy, you know, if they're in their consciousness.
As far as I know, advanced devotees are not supposed to have friends and enemies. They're just supposed to have only friends. But sometimes people in the material world, the general situation is that there are friends and enemies. And sometimes people even make an enemy of Krishna, that God or Krishna is an enemy. And that in a sense is the whole trouble, because we think that God is an enemy. And it's always, if something bad happens, it's God's fault. If something good happens, I did it. This is the mood of the materialist. But a devotee is Baba Gurana, Baba Grahi Janardana, he just sees the good in everyone and sees that, that people make mistakes and they may have done things wrong, but still they can be converted. Just like we've seen that many, many people, including myself, who were demonic in nature, became devotees. So even a demon can become a devotee by the mercy of Krishna and other devotees. Yes?
He said, Prabhupada didn't want to speak publicly anymore. What year was that? Is that just in America?
I don't know exactly, but it was approximately 1975, 1976, when Governor Wallace was shot. There was an attempt to assassinate him. And Prabhupada thought that if you're a public figure, it's not good to be too visible. And at that time, he told one of his devotees that he wasn't going to appear in public, but he did it anyway. He was always taking a risk. There's a risk in everything we do in the material world. But but even very prominent people, even faultless people, that was my point, sometimes have enemies. And there were, and there probably still are, people who dislike and hate Prabhupada and his movement. But no attempt that we know of was made on Prabhupada's life, fortunately. So, anything else? So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
It's a common thing in New York. It's not rich or poor. Generally, it's a middle-class brownstone. They call them brownstone buildings or brownstone houses. They're made out of brownstones. So they're not particularly rich or poor. It's just a typical